Hi, this is Steve Michelotti of the Azure Government Engineering team. With me today, I have Scott Grunemeyer, and he's going to talk to me today and help me understand about what it takes to migrate to Azure Government. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
So thanks, Steve.
Before we get into our discussion about migrating to Azure Government, can you tell me a little bit about the role you have at Microsoft?
Yes, so I'm a cloud solution architect, and my role is basically to work with customers to help them understand Azure and Azure Government, what services are available, and how to migrate from their on-premises environment to the cloud.
Okay, great. So I've got the right person here. This is someone that you do this every day. You understand what customers actually go through. You've done this yourself. And so you already have seen, you know, what the questions they have are, what the challenges they have are, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. There's a lot of education in getting customers to move to the cloud. And it's my job to help them understand what's happening and what's different and what's the same and feel comfortable so that they'll trust Microsoft and trust their workloads in Azure.
So when you are starting down that path with a customer, what are the things when you're starting a migration that you start with a customer? Are there things that you ask them or things you educate them on? How does that work?
Yeah, I start off with an education piece and really start talking about what is Azure Government, that, you know, that it's a nationwide offering, that we now have four regions out there, four Azure data centers across the entire country, so that, you know, we have resiliency across the U.S., but it's all contained inside the physical United States. And then we have six ExpressRoute locations out there for them to connect, our customers connect their networking in. So lots of connection and hosting options geographically across the U.S.
All right, great. What about some of the questions you ask them when you're starting down that path?
One of Azure Government's main value offerings is its security and compliance position. So with Azure Government, we have FedRAMP High, CJIS, IRS 1075 capabilities in our cloud. And that's a service that a lot of our customers can't implement on-premises today. So it's a big value proposition for them to be able to host workloads securely and meet high compliance standards in Azure where they may have had trouble on-premises doing so.
Okay, I see. So we look at all these compliance certifications we have. And so if I'm a state and local government, maybe I care about CJIS. If I'm federal, maybe I can care about a different certification. It really depends on the customer. But we try to accommodate all those different types.
Absolutely. And having the high watermark of compliance across Azure Government is extremely helpful in winning business. Right now, I have customers and different solution providers call me up almost daily because of Azure Government's compliance capabilities and wanting to move their workloads in and wanting to understand how to do so.
Yeah, there definitely seemed to be an uptick when we got the DISA Level 5, which increased things as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, so you've started educating the customer. You've started asking them about some of the questions they might need to think about. So how do I actually get started? How do I start this migration process?
Well, really all you need is an internet connection and the willingness to do so.
Okay.
Our service Azure Site Recovery, as one of our many services that we have in Azure, is very useful for protecting your on-premises servers, whether they're physical servers or virtual machines, as a disaster recovery solution. But what a lot of people don't know is that it's an excellent way to migrate servers to the cloud, whether they're Windows or Linux, whether they're physical servers, they're Hyper-V or VMware. We can use our Azure Site Recovery service to migrate servers to the cloud seamlessly and with little to no downtime.
Oh, interesting. I see. So you're saying Site Recovery can be used, maybe I have just a web server. I can use Site Recovery to sort of back up that web server, but I can also use it to migrate that server to the cloud? Am I understanding that right?
Azure Site Recovery replicates all the disks attached to the server in near real time to the Azure cloud, and we can orchestrate the cutover so that the database cuts over, the logic tier cuts over, the web tier cuts over in an orchestrated fashion that minimizes downtime and maximizes your capability to move to the cloud.
Okay, that's very cool. All right, so I've gotten started. Maybe I've started using this Site Recovery. What are the types of workloads that you're seeing government customers move, or what are the type of workloads you're encouraging them to use? And when they're moving those workloads, what are the most common services you're seeing them use in Azure?
Well, one of the first workloads that most of my customers start with is Office 365 Identity Resiliency in Azure.
Okay.
And what this really means is hosting your on-premises identity components that support Office 365 or Dynamics 365 in our Azure cloud so you can get the benefit of our uptime SLA. We have a 99.95 uptime SLA for virtual machines hosted in Azure. And by putting your identity components in Azure, even if you have a disaster on premises, your identity will keep working with Office 365 so that you can go to your local coffee shop, get on the Wi-Fi, and still have access to all of your Office 365 cloud resources or Dynamics 365 cloud resources and keep being productive.
All right, so O365, definitely an important component, but I'm a developer, so I care about things like writing my web apps, and how do I get those things migrated? What are the services I need to think about?
Well, we have a whole host of platform as a service options out there for creating cloud native applications. Our app service, it will host web apps, whether they're IIS or PHP or Java applications. We have Azure SQL or database as a service out there. Redis cache, queues, blob storage, and you can combine these services to create cloud-native applications very quickly for rapid development and deployment out there. With platform as a service, Microsoft maintains most of the components underneath, and you contribute the code or the data to the database, and you're able to stand up applications quickly and efficiently.
Well, so as a web developer, you know, you named a couple of things I would almost certainly use: web apps, SQL database, and maybe caching. Those are things quite common. What about some of the newer services? Are you seeing people start to use those services at all? And if so, which ones?
Yeah, so we have a couple really hot services out there. One of them is our operations management suite, okay, which is very useful for monitoring your servers, whether they're in Azure or AWS or on-premises, for security and performance. You can create very nice looking dashboards that are accessible to anyone in your organization that'll monitor in near real time the health of your servers regardless of where they reside.
Oh, so hold on a second. You're saying that with OMS, I can monitor my servers not only that live in Azure, but also in my on-prem data center? Did I hear that correctly?
Absolutely. To create a single pane of glass for the security and health of all of your servers in your organization.
Okay, that's cool. So we have monitoring. What about, so again, I'm a developer, so I always feel like I'm flipping this back to development, but what other services might I be interested in, or what are you seeing people start to be interested in?
So we have a whole suite of analytics services up in Azure today. So including Azure SQL Data Warehouse, HD Insight for doing deep data analytics, publishing to Power BI to create interactive dashboards for end users. We also have new services like cognitive services for doing analysis of video or text or speech out there. We have Internet of Things, so we can ingest data from IoT devices and then make use of that with our analytics services.
Okay, so that's interesting. Not only are the services individually, you know, powerful tools you can use on your own, but they can interact with each other. You mentioned HD Insight, and you can create, you know, Spark clusters and Jupyter Notebooks, and then use Power BI to visualize the result that you got from HD Insight.
Absolutely, and do so within our Azure Government compliant workspace so that you can create full cloud native or virtual machine based solutions that maintain a high level of security and compliance across the board.
So as we've been going through this discussion, I've heard you mention several different things. You've mentioned many PaaS services, web apps, SQL database. I've also heard you mention some IaaS, infrastructure as a service, VMs, virtual networks, that sort of thing. So I'm a government agency, and I'm overwhelmed by this. I don't know, should I go IaaS? Should I go PaaS? Should I go both? What's your take on that? What do you, and maybe it differs from agency to agency, but how do you approach that with your customers?
It does differ from agency to agency, but in general, you know, what you need to consider is what is your overall digital transformation strategy. The cloud, in a lot of ways, is going to be inevitable based off of the cost factors and security factors involved. And so, you know, smart agencies are planning for that digital transformation. How many years is it going to take for me to transfer from on-premises to a cloud-based world? Is that 1 year, 2 years, 3 years? And when you have that idea of digital transformation being inevitable and making a plan for it, then really the main strategy that I see most customers employing is lift and shift of their on-premises virtual machines to Azure to get the benefit and the lower total cost of ownership immediately. And then over time, as they touch their applications, as they refactor their applications, to take that opportunity to move them to a cloud-native architecture and off of virtual machines and infrastructure as a service.
Okay. So I am a CTO at an agency, and I've been told I need to move to the cloud. I lift and shift my VMs over there. But it sounds like you're saying my cloud transformation is not necessarily complete just doing that. What's wrong with IaaS? I moved my servers. I'm running in the cloud.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with IaaS, but oftentimes we can achieve a lower total cost of ownership, lower maintenance level on applications by moving to cloud native architectures using platform as a service, because there is less surface for the customer to maintain and administer.
So as a CTO of an agency, I've just heard you use that word maintenance, and I don't want to necessarily be paying my employees to patch servers and maintenance activities
exactly.
Like that is what I hear you saying.
Right. With platform as a service, the burden is on Microsoft for patching, update, keeping all the pieces of that service up and running, and you're really responsible for the content.
Okay.
And that's really, you know, what the agency's mission is to provide applications and content to their end users, not maintain infrastructure. Let Microsoft do that, because that's what we do best.
Yeah. And I heard you use that term cloud native architecture. So you're just talking about like using the components that you have available to you without worrying about maintenance, as you said.
Absolutely. And so, you know, an easy way to do that is with an Azure web app and an Azure SQL database. You can very quickly get going with, say, a .NET and SQL application, get your feet wet and get out the door, and then you can evolve into a more complex, more nuanced architecture over time as you learn about the services that are out there.
Right, and if you've done it in the cloud-native way, you get the benefits of elastically scalable resources and the promise of the cloud, so to speak.
Absolutely. I have several customers that have realized that, and they're actively working on migrating their application inventories over to a cloud-native architectures. And they're very excited about the prospect, and they're able to better serve their constituents at a lower total cost of ownership with a higher level of uptime with our uptime SLAs in the Azure. And the customers are seeing those benefits of lower total cost of ownership, higher security, higher compliance, easier passes of audits, all by moving to the cloud.
Okay, great. So we talk about the migrating to the cloud and the different things that we have to think about. I think what I've gotten is migrating to cloud, especially for our government agencies, need an internet connection and the willingness to do so. So this has been Steve McLotty with Scott Grunemeyer talking about migrating to the cloud. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.